the London Bridge Sports Medicine Podcast.
Medical news, health, fitness,
with Dr. AJ Seth.
Hi there. Welcome to LBSM's Ask the Expert series. We put the important questions to our experts to give you the latest tips in health and fitness. Today we're talking to Maddie, a podiatrist and expert in gait and movement analysis. We talk about footwear, particularly for running, and what the kind of things you want to look for when buying a running shoe. If you need any further advice, feel free to get in touch. Hope you enjoy listening. So, hi, Maddie. Welcome to Ask the Expert.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks you so much for coming back. And today we're going to be talking about footwear.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So footwear is an interesting place to be, because actually there's lots of different types of footwear, and often patients will come to me and say, you know, what trainers are the best to run in? What trainers are the best to cycle in? Does it make a difference? Or they've been to a foot shop, they've done running analysis. So it can be quite a confusing space, can't it?
Absolutely. And I would say overwhelming to some extent, because it's constantly changing as well. All these big brands are constantly bringing out new and updated shoes, which are similar but slightly different to the old style. So it's very complicated, and as a patient, it can be very, very confusing.
So I'm going to give you the impossible task of trying to break it all down for us, and maybe let's just start with the different types of footwear.
Yeah. You know,
from trainer to sandals to other, what different types of footwear are people normally wearing?
So obviously very varied. One of my main questions when people come to see me in clinic is, what is your footwear? And actually I do ask for patients to bring in some shoes to clinic, and it's very interesting to see what gets brought in. Usually it's a suitcase full of shoes, just to show me what's going on. But I think everyday shoes can be such as dress shoes. If people are going into work, it could be a business shoe, it could be an everyday trainer or winter boot. Moving on from that into the summer, it could be a sandal or a flip-flop or a Birkenstock type sandal. And then entering into the sports world, it's complex. So it could be a running shoe that's for the road or for the trail, or it could be a tennis shoe, hockey shoe, netball shoe. They're all very different. And then you enter into the road cycling and cleats that have specific road cycling shoes. So it's long, it's endless, and all these big brands are constantly bringing out new and updated shoes. So it's interesting to keep on top of.
Yeah, and people don't always think that, even though they're, you know, half the day they may be in their work shoes, so leather shoes, for example, and in the evening, like ladies may go out in heels, for example, or they may go for a run in sports shoes. All these different types of footwear we're putting our feet into have different effects and different biomechanical forces on the foot.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, often if you look at your foot and what you're trying to squeeze it into, it doesn't always naturally fit. And keeping on top of what best works for your foot and its mechanics is sometimes where to begin. But then again, yes, people want to go and wear something dressy out in the evening. So I think it's about listening to your feet. At the end of a Friday night out for dinner and you have worn high heels, be aware that in the morning your feet might feel a little bit sore. They might get the odd blister, it might get some rubbing or some tingling on your feet. It's just about in the morning just looking after them, and as much as possible let your feet spread. If it's comfortable to walk around barefoot, that's not a bad thing to do now and again. But if you are wearing high heels or those kinds of shoes, just as much as possible, probably don't try and do too much walking around in them, and look after your feet as much as possible.
Is it good to have a variety of footwear? So just not to be one shoe all the time, or is it better just to have one shoe? You know, that fits you, you know, it works well, keep it on 24/7.
Very mixed. I think it's hard to try and tell someone to wear the same shoe the whole time. So I think naturally we would all want maybe a couple of different types. But and I think that,
I mean,
that
came up. I only have three pairs of shoes, just to say, and I alternate between them. So.
What's that? You know, a work shoe, a trainer.
Yeah, and some clogs for work. So
I
alternate between those three. But that I'm a rare example. I'm sure. Right. People want variety, don't they?
Yeah, but I think that came about, you know, for lockdown, for example, your classic worker that had to commute into the city wearing a business shoe and then came back, and then Weekend Warrior was wearing trainers. Mm. All of a sudden during lockdown, that just drastically changed. And all of a sudden they were at home 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, barefoot or in a slipper or in something that wasn't their classic shoe. And pain and symptoms did start coming about because of a change in footwear. So there's big components to think about when it comes to your shoes, what stability that shoe is providing you with, and what's the heel on it, and is there any cushion on it. And there's a lot about shoes. It's very complex and interesting in the same time.
Okay, so let's just focus on sports shoes or running shoes in particular. Mm-hmm. So just say I'm a runner, you know, I want to, it doesn't matter what level really, or maybe it does. So I'm doing couch to 5K, or I'm quite a good runner and I want to, you know, I want the best shoes for my foot health and performance and running performance. Yeah. Where do I start? What are the first things I need to sort of think about?
So I think, yeah, deciding what your goal is super important, because moving forwards, you want to know what your terrain is going to be on, or what your mileage is going to be. Generally, the running shoe industry is long and extensive, but breaking it down into some simple things is crucial. I think sometimes getting your biomechanics assessed and looking at the function of your feet and the flexibility in your ankle and your strength of your feet and your legs is really important. That can be an indicator to certain shoes that might be more suitable for you. For example, I'm looking at the amount of cushion in a shoe, or the stiffness in a shoe can be something to think about. The other thing is the drop. So the amount from the heel to the toe, and the difference is the stack height and the drop from the whole heel or the midfoot from the shoe. So again, it can be very individual. When you do go to a running shop, they very kindly do give you a very brief gait analysis, and they will help advise you on certain shoes that they think might be suitable for you. They can be very helpful, and it can be a great place to start. And often once you start running, if you're first time doing a couch to 5K, you'll probably find a running shoe that works for you, and you probably will then stick with that brand for a while or for the foreseeable, unless something drastic goes wrong. And then that's when you probably come to see someone like me or yourself to find out what's going on. But there's no real one-stop answer for what shoe's right for what person. The old saying of you're a pronator or a supinator, and this is the shoe for you, that's quite an outdated approach to buying running shoes. And it's a lot more complex than that, because actually we need natural pronation and we need natural supination of the foot for it to work naturally. So
And I think some people who go to running shops for their analysis, that I mean, they can be bamboozled somewhat, and depends who's doing the running analysis and who's giving the advice, I guess. But do you did say that was a good place to start, but I mean, how literal should we take their advice? So we will be talking about pronation in a different episode. But if they were to say to you that, oh, you are over pronating, I mean, is that an accurate description that they are able to give someone and give an according shoe, for example? Or should sort of consumers be wary of that?
I think be wary to some extent, because like I said, pronation is a very normal, natural movement of our foot and leg, and we need it. So just stiffening up that medial, the inside part of your foot, to restrict that isn't actually always a good thing. So for example, if your foot is very flexible, if you've got a very mobile foot, you will have greater amount of pronation than if your foot is a little bit more rigid, just because your foot might naturally collapse inwards, but it might not give you any problems. So restricting that movement up can actually cause further knock-on effects further up the chain. So it is something to be mindful of. I think if you're going first time running and you have had an assessment at running shop and they have picked up that you do collapse inwards a little bit more on your feet, and they're suggesting a stability shoe, which is typically how they're classified, as a stability or a kind of cushioned or neutral shoe. Try it, but maybe also try the other one, because a lot of it is preference. And if you prefer some more cushion and some more natural movement of your foot, that might be more suitable for you over a stability, or vice versa. So take it with a pinch of salt, probably, and try both and see what feels comfortable for you.
Okay, so I've gone to the shop. I'm doing my couch to 5K. I've gone to the shop. They've done a bit of running analysis, or I've just picked ones off the shelf. I've got these brand new trainers in their box. You know, I want to keep them in the box as long as possible because they look very nice. But what do I do with them? I mean, do I just go all out with them and wear them all day, every day? Do I wear them in? I mean, what's the best thing to do once you've got a new shoe?
So definitely wear them in. So I would say keep them indoors for the first few days. So just wear them around the house, put some socks on, walk around the house, just wear them in. Make sure they fit your foot. So make sure the length is suitable and the width is suitable. What you need to remember is when you go running that your foot will expand. So it will increase in width and length, and therefore it your foot and your shoe might feel tighter towards the end of your run. So you need to make sure there's enough space for those types of expansions. Wear them in around the house, walk in them comfortably, be sure you're happy with them before you take them outside, because often most companies will be happy to take an exchange or return for your shoes if you've just worn them indoors. So if there's no marks on them and they look like they came straight from the box, then they'll be happy to give you an exchange. So be sure you're happy with them before you go running in them. And then I think first things first would be just to take them on a very, very short, light jog, to jog and walk maybe. So just build up the running that you're doing and then make sure you're happy with them before you start increasing it more to your suitable, your goal or whatever you're aiming for to get used to your running and your new running shoes.
Brilliant. Thanks. And we don't endorse any brands. I just thought I'd say that before we talk about the different types or brands. But are there any sort of really safe bets with running shoes or, and ones where a good place to start with, where you go into the shop and you see the 1,000 brands, you don't know where to start? What would be your go-to beginner running shoe?
So hard to say, because again, feet are very, very different. But I would say first things first is to, all running shoes will be similar to some extent and have similar components. So the most important thing is to make sure you find something that fits your foot. So some brands will have wide fitting shoes and some will have more narrow fitting shoes. So that's often a good place to start, because the width, you can't really change too much between the different brands. So just thinking off the top of my head, Brooks and New Balance, for example, do actual wide fitting shoes. So if you have a classically wide fit, then those might be something to look at. A6 typically come up a bit narrower around the heel and the forefoot. So that might be something that might suit your foot and your foot shape a little bit better. And then they will all have a kind of a maximal support shoe, maybe a bit of more of a mid support and a neutral. So they've all got a couple of different styles, but think about things like your amount of cushion you need, or the flexibility you need, or the ramp angle that you need. That's probably a good place to start.
And you could, if you're in the shop, I guess you need to be in a good running shop for someone to know those kind of facts, rather than your local Sports Direct shop.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're wanting to get specifically into running, going to a classic running shop, which does sell an array of brands, is a good place to start. And then they're not going to be encouraging you down one particular route. So going somewhere that will sell Asics, Brooks, New Balance, Nike, Hoka, all of the kind of big running shop brands is probably a good place to start.
Okay. I just want to quickly finish on minimalist shoes. So that was a trend a while ago. Lots of people going barefoot running and trying to go from heel striking to 4 foot running. I mean, it seems to have died off a little bit now. But what are the general thoughts about that? I mean, lots of people did try and alter the way they ran to suit a particular type of shoe. I mean, that never really is a good idea, is it?
Not really. I think minimalist shoes are, because they still have them, they're still very much out there for running, walking, and there's some big brands out there now, but I think they could work well with particular patients that have the right characteristics, whether that's their mechanics, but also their flexibility and the strength of their feet and legs. You need an amount of ankle flexibility or movement in your ankle joint to encourage that. So, and the main difference between a minimalist and a more supportive or cushioned shoe is the drop. So, where a minimalist shoe is totally flat between the forefoot and the rear foot, it's called a zero drop. So it's totally flat across the base of the shoe, whereas your more classic running shoe will have more of a heel and a slight toe. So you end up in a slight heel. Now, if you're a heel striker, you might be more inclined to it's an individual thing, but between a heel, depending on what kind of a striker you are, heel, midfoot, forefoot striker would depend on maybe what you're more suitable for. But again, important that you have the right flexibility and the strength. I think if you're wanting to transfer out of being in a supportive shoe and moving into a minimalist for whatever reason, I think it's important to go via a physio, gaining the right amount of strength and flexibility, seeing a podiatrist, working on, we're discussing if your mechanics are suitable for it, and going from there.
Yeah, and I would say I've seen a lot of injuries over the years from people doing exactly that, of transitioning themselves, you know, just buying a pair of minimalist shoes and just going for it and thinking it'll be fine. So it is very important to sort of get that advice. You're absolutely right. Maddie, my last final question for you is, how many shoes do you have?
Oh, a lot. I'm a podiatrist, so yeah. I've got to make sure I always wear nice shoes.
Ballpark figure.
Probably in the 20 mark.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not as bad. I was expecting way more than that.
Me just being a bit.
No, it's fine. Okay. Okay,
yeah, definitely a decent amount of different types of sports shoes.
All for work, I'm sure. All for work.
And then for work ones as well, yes.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Maddie. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you again. And yeah, if any of the listeners have got questions about footwear or gait analysis, I'll put your details in the comments and they can contact
Great.
You.
Great. Yeah, right. Please do. Yeah. Thank you, Maddie, for having me.
Speak soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to LBSM's Ask the Expert series. We really hope you enjoyed listening. If any of the topics discussed are relevant to you or you want to find out more, please get in touch by phone, email, social media, or visit our website. Thanks again and see you soon.